Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to offer a correction to what Bob just told us. This is not the Word of God. Scripture is holy, it is inspired, but it is not the Word of God. And to prove that to you, I'm going to take issue with something that is said at the beginning of today's passage, where in the first verse 19, we read that they were locked in the room for fear of the Jews. Excuse me. No, John was Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. The disciples were all Jewish. So what was going on then? They were afraid of the religious authorities. And John was part of an intra-family squabble going on within the Jewish community. And words hurt. Words have an impact. And so when the gospel was written, they refer to the Jews. Now, sadly, Christians have continued to blame things on the Jews for two millennia. And we're starting to get some things right. But frankly, we like to blame the Jews. The Jews are not responsible for the death of Jesus. No, they're not. The Jews are not responsible for all the trouble in the world. They're not part of some secret cabal that is trying to manipulate our events. Jews don't control the newspapers. They don't control the TV networks. They don't run the internet. But that's not what I wanted to talk about today. Instead, I want to talk about this second Sunday after Easter. So last week we had a big service, a lot of music, lots of smiling people. There were more folks here at church last week than there are today. So what now? What do we do now? I can tell you that it's Orthodox Easter, so maybe that'll give you a little bit of a oomph. Maybe you'll wonder why Christians can't get their calendar straight. You may remember that a few years ago, the Pope was interested in looking at setting a fixed date for Easter, which most likely would have gone over well with a lot of school boards, but really would have messed with our heads, because we like to figure out when Easter is every year based on a formula that I cannot recite to you by memory, but involves the new moon, involves the Jewish calendar, because the Passover is part of setting that date. But this still leaves us the question, what now? So I told you last week that Jesus Christ was risen, and we sang hallelujah. So what? What difference does that make to us? What difference does that make to me? How has that changed our world? In a couple of days, we've all got to file our taxes. Some of you may have done that already. God bless you. Others of us have not. They still have to go in. The mortgages have to be paid. The cars have to be paid for. The utilities have to be paid for. Some of us are going to have to deal with tuition bills. And I can think of all of the monetary expenses that I would rather not have to face. Jesus' resurrection did not make any of that go away. I want some proof. I want Jesus to show up and prove to me that he is risen. I'm not going to yell at Thomas for asking questions. And frankly, the question I have for Thomas is, where the heck was he after Jesus had been executed on a cross? Clearly, the disciples had retreated to a place together, with the exception of Thomas. Thomas was not in that place. And if anything was going to bug Jesus, It wasn't that Thomas had doubts and questions about the resurrection. It was the fact that Thomas did not trust in his community. A group of people with whom he had lived for 3 years traveled around the country, seen Jesus perform miracles before, had seen the work that that community could do. And then when things got really dicey, Thomas flaked out. He was gone. Now, I don't mean to diminish the potential threat that the disciples were facing. Jesus was clearly a marked man. And it is quite possible, indeed reasonable, for the disciples to have thought, okay, the religious authorities have taken out Jesus. Maybe they are going to look for his comrades next. Maybe Thomas disappeared out of self-preservation. But clearly, that was a problem. Not so much that he was shut out of the fellowship because he was able to show up later on, and he was able to express his doubts to the disciples when they told him, Jesus has been here, we see him. Thomas's response is, prove it. Now, I suspect many of us over the last few years have become very suspicious when people say, believe me. We had a public figure who liked to say that a lot. And he did not do credit to politicians for saying, believe me. Because now just about anybody who thinks will respond to, believe me, with a roll of the eyes, with a desire to show me the money, to prove what you are saying is true. But I am going to ask you to believe me that Jesus Christ is risen. And he's not going to appear here and ask us to touch his pierced hands or to poke his side, the wound on the side. He is going to ask us to take it on faith. And the last blessing that Jesus gives in the Beatitudes are not the ones we remember in that long litany from earlier in the gospel. It's the one he says today, where he says, blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe. You are among the blessed. If you believe in Jesus, Jesus has blessed you. Think about that. Jesus knew it would be a stretch for us to believe. And he blessed us for doing so. Now, Jesus knew that he needed some help in spreading the word of the gospel. He needed some help in spreading the word of what God had done. And that's why he recruited the disciples. Now, I don't know why Jesus picked these 12 guys to be disciples. I'm sure he could have found an ad agency down the street with some hot-to-trot marketers, some madmen, so to speak, and they would have done a great job of packaging the story in a way that would have convinced everybody. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus chose regular people just like you and me to spread the message. He put Peter in charge of the church. And he invited Thomas to be one of his disciples who had spread the word after Thomas had doubted him. So think about that. The guy that Christian history has remembered as Doubting Thomas is supposedly the disciple who went off to India and spread the word. So Jesus works with questionable characters. Jesus works with broken tools. Jesus works with humanity. Jesus works with you and me. Now, I am not going to claim to be a great disciple of any caliber, but I try to share the message with you each week, and I hope you hear something that you like. I will confess that I was disappointed a newcomer left after the children's moment, but we can only do our best, and we don't have to be preachers to share the message. A former member of this church who's moved away had checks with a little fish next to her name. I'm not one to do things like that, but I always respected that conviction. To everybody she wrote a bill, she was declaring, "I am a Christian." And she looked like a Christian too. That was a little act. She wasn't walking out in the public square with a sandwich board. She wasn't telling people that they were going to be damned if they did not accept the gospel. She just said in a simple way, "I'm a Christian. That's important to me." Now, I know that you, like me, remember when checks only had your name on them, and now you can get all sorts of things printed on your checks, all sorts of logos and images. And if you've got Disney checks, more power to you, but frankly, I'd be wondering about the soundness of your money. But that's something someone cares about. And I come back to that fish, and somebody took the trouble to have that image imprinted next to her name. I don't know if any of you have checks like that, but if you do, God bless you. I don't know if any of you, if any of us, actually talk with our friends about our faith, about what we do on Sunday mornings. Are you comfortable with that? Do you have questions about why you're here? It's okay to have questions. Some people are on a journey. I think that's a trite and overused phrase these days, but in this case, it's true. Some people are trying to make sense of the world. They're looking for God. God's going to be looking for you. In fact, God might be right next to you at this moment, but you're not looking in that direction. I'm not going to tell you to look to both sides. But think about that. God could be showing up anywhere at any time. Now, how would you react if Jesus decided to give us the full Thomas? If Jesus showed up right here behind me, and I know he hasn't because you're all just looking at me quietly, and held up his hands, said, "Take a look." Jesus touched his side. Poke. Now, if you're on Zoom, you could chalk that all up to CGI and a deep fake video and we pulling a fast one over your eyes. But you are all here in the sanctuary. Now, earlier, I was watching Ernie play the clavinova, and as I do most weeks when I'm listening to the music, I wonder how on earth he does that. And yes, I know Ernie's been trained, but it amazes me that he can read the music while moving his hands along the keyboard. And it amazes me when my son plays the cello or the tuba. He remembers all this stuff. And I give thanks to our friends next door at the Music Center for teaching Chip how to play. But that's something that I get to see all the time. I look out at all of you, and I see the Holy Spirit at work. So this is today's Pentecost reading from John. John has rolled up these events in the church. And Jesus has given the Spirit to the disciples to go out and do his work. And I look at you, and I see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. That's a blessing. You all are a blessing. And there may be times when I want to pull my hair because I'm frustrated with something. I apologize in advance for when I've done that to you. But I give God thanks for bringing you into my life. I thank God for the fact that you come here week in and week out. And I thank God for the work you do for this community. You are a living example to the community of what God's love is. You are an example to the community of what God's love, how it makes a difference. Think about that. Now, some of you may not want that burden placed on your shoulders. But I would ask you to take it up eagerly. Because there are all sorts of things you can represent in today's world. And many of them are not worth representing. There are many causes, many issues, many things we can get worked up about. And maybe they're worth a couple of minutes of our time. But are they really going to make a difference in our lives? No, they're not. But I think about the assistance the church gives to folks in the neighborhood, and we've had people coming in and out most days last week. And again, I've talked about this before, but your support of the Open Door Ministry makes that possible. I think about the witness we offer to the community with the banner hanging over our door. And people do notice that banner. We are letting the community know that Christians are not just a bunch of narrow-minded, bigoted nativists. That's important. That's important. And I'd love to see this sanctuary filled with people, with all of you, but other people. And frankly, people who don't look like us. The Word of God is not just for you and for me. It is for all of God's children. So when Jesus showed up in that upper room all those years ago, he was giving his followers a pretty big job. And he commissioned them to go out and share the good news with the community, knowing that in the future, none of Jesus' potential followers would have the benefit of an in-person demonstration. That people would follow Jesus instead because of what his message contained, and because of the way his followers lived their lives. Again, people here have different reasons for coming to church. Some of you may show up because of Bernie's great music. Some of you might like the singing. Some of you might like the architecture. For whatever reason, some of you might like me. But each of you are called into this place on a regular basis. And you come here without any in-person demonstration. If you have had an in-person demonstration, we need to talk. And maybe you have had an in-person demonstration. You felt God's love and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. But this event on that day long ago in a locked room, it must have been surreal. If we take the gospel at face value, somehow Jesus appeared in that space. And I can't help but think that the text was somehow edited, because the response to Jesus' appearance isn't dumb amazement. Aren't people stammering? Aren't folks flailing around because a ghost has shown up? It does suggest, though, that they might have been a little bit agitated. Because what are the first words Jesus offers? Peace be with you. And then again, peace be with you. Jesus has not come offering his followers flashy cars, big houses, movie star partners, lots of money in the bank. Jesus has never done that. Instead, he is offering them peace. The peace of God. And that's a really big deal. My hope is that you experience this peace today and in all the days to come. And that you'll share that peace with others. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your peace, which we are blessed to receive and will hopefully share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.